I will pray for us now, and then I will read Psalm 49. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather together, to listen to you speak to us through the Bible. Thank you that these words are secure. Thank you that these words are good for us to hear. And we pray for Joe, therefore, as he explains this psalm to us, that we would listen carefully and it would build us up. Father, if there are any here who are still thinking about the Christian faith, we ask too that this will be a really helpful time to dig into the Bible and see what you have to say about big issues of life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Psalm 49. Hear this, all peoples. I should read the heading, shouldn't I? To the choir master, a psalm of the sons of Korah. That is in the original text, so there we go. Hear this, all peoples. Give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom. The meditation of my heart shall be understanding. I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will solve my riddle to the music of the lyre. Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of the abundance of their riches? Truly, no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life, for the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice that he should live on forever and never see the pit. For he sees that even the wise die, the fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations, though they called lands by their own names. Man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. This is the path of those who have foolish confidence, yet after them people approve of their boasts. Selah. Like sheep they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol. For he will receive me. Selah. Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. For when he dies, he will carry nothing away. His glory will not go down after him. For though while he lives, he counts himself blessed, and though you get praise when you do well for yourself, his soul will go to the generation of his fathers, who will never again see light. Man in his pomp, yet without understanding, is like the beasts that perish. Over to you, Joe.
Thanks, Mark. And hello, everyone. Thanks for joining on this lunchtime today. I think it's raining outside over here in Eltham. Hope you're all enjoying life wherever you are in this British summer. I wonder if you have ever felt cheated, intimidated, maybe belittled by someone rich. Perhaps you went to their house and you felt completely out your depth and you were made to feel very, very uncomfortable. Or perhaps at work, you feel that you should do what they say, even if it crosses a line. That partner who's clearly loaded, clearly trusting in his wealth, but clearly not too worried about your welfare or what you should or should not be doing. Maybe you did a job for someone where you were severely underpaid, or your rent went up significantly from the landlord unreasonably. Well, Psalm 49 is written by the psalmist to help those reading not fear the rich. Back then, I'd suggest that, as is often also true now, if you were rich, you were powerful, and you could mostly do what you wanted and treat people how you liked. And this often would lead, and may lead us today, to fear those who are rich and powerful. And the psalmist seems to be addressing this fear in this psalm today. Just look with me at verse 5. It says, "Why should I fear in times of trouble when the iniquity of those who cheat me surrounds me, those who trust in their wealth or boast in their riches?" And it ends with, in verse 16, Be not afraid when a man becomes rich, when the glory of his house increases. It may be more likely, though, that for us, we at times are the rich. And this passage, while addressing the question of why we shouldn't fear the rich, it also gives us strong warnings as to anyone who might be tempted to put their wealth, their trust in their wealth, their trust in their riches. Indeed, verses 1 to 2, if you look with me there, show that it is a wisdom psalm for all to pay attention to, all to truly understand. Verse 1, it says, "Hear this, all peoples, give ear, all inhabitants of the world, both low and high, rich and poor together. My mouth shall speak wisdom, the meditation of my heart shall be understanding." So there is this wisdom and understanding that we're to glean from this psalm. And we'll try and do that as we go through it today. But first, a story. There was once a very wealthy man. He had a very successful life. He caught cryptocurrency just as it was taking off. He bought stocks always at the right time. He operated out of tax havens. He holidayed, you know, on his own private jet. They had several luxury properties. And in fact, they even built a hotel and named it after themselves. People hung on their every tweet and they tried everything they could to emulate their success and be in this person's good books. He really was a very successful, a very rich, a very powerful man. But this person didn't know God. And one day he died. He'd put his trust in his money and he came before God. And God said to him, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." To which the man replied, "Excuse me, God, I'm sure we can come to some arrangement here. Do you take cash, card, Bitcoin?" To which God replied, "Depart from me, for I never knew you." And that's the first point of the psalm today. Don't fear the rich, because their money cannot buy eternal life. Don't fear the rich, because their money cannot buy eternal life. Look with me at verses 7 to 9. Say at verse 7, "Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life. For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice, that he should live on forever and never see the pit." Even the rich cannot bail their friends out of this situation. They cannot afford the price of even their own life. The ransom of their life, we're told, is too costly. They cannot live forever and they will die. And the psalmist really drives that point home with his reinforcing statements each time. He leaves us in no doubt. He could have just written the first line each time, but he follows it up with the second to cement his point. Again, look with me at 7 to 9. "Truly no man can ransom another or give to God the price of his life." And then the next time, "For the ransom of their life is costly and can never suffice." And then that he should live on forever and never see the pit. There always seems to be this reinforcing line to just hammer it home. And he goes on with that style in verses 10 to 12 to show that money is of no use after you die. Look with me at verses 10 to 12. Verse 10, "For he sees that even the wise die. The fool and the stupid alike must perish and leave their wealth to others. Their graves are their homes forever, their dwelling places to all generations. Though they called lands by their own names, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish." Rich people are not rich forever. They may have hotels or lands named after them, but their ultimate end will be leaving their wealth to others, perishing and in the grave forever. Indeed, verse 14 quite chillingly says, "Death shall be their shepherd." Death shall be their shepherd. So no matter how rich someone is, even the richest person on earth, be it Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Bill Gates, Richard Branson, you name it, they cannot buy eternal life. They might be able to get to space, but they can't get to heaven. They cannot pay the price of their life. none of their riches go with them, and their wealth is of no use to them when they come before the judgment seat of God. The wealth stops at their deathbed. In verse 12, just look with me there again, it says, man in his pomp will not remain. He is like the beasts that perish. Their graves are their homes forever, though they're called lands by their own name. Yet clearly there's a bit of a disconnect with these people. In verse 13, it says, this is the path of those who have foolish confidence. Yet after them, people approve of their boasts. Despite these rich people's perilous position, people approve of them and their claims, and it looks like they're the ones in control. They're the ones to be, you know, adored and approved of. So I think as we today look at this psalm, we need to pause and just let that settle in. The rich and the powerful in this world will perish like the animals, and death will be their shepherd. As those who are trusting in their riches have no hope in eternity. And I think we can be so hardwired to want to be the rich and the powerful, or spend time sucking up to the rich and the powerful, approving of their boast, so to speak. This teaching, it challenges how we often think about and how we act towards the rich. And they may have the power and the influence this side of heaven, but that's where it stops. Ultimately, it's a futile wealth that's of no hope for eternity. And tying in with our point, then, this, of course, helps us with our fear of the rich. Given their destiny, we need not fear them or think of them as superior. For those who trust in their riches, as I say, they may be rich on earth, but they have no place in heaven, as money can't buy eternal life. It's the one thing that money can't buy. It cannot ransom our life before God. I think as we look at rich people, we often think they are completely sorted. They have no needs. Well, clearly they do have one big glaring need. That's what the psalm, I think, is trying to get at. And we all have one big need. Indeed, as we said, the psalm is addressed to both low and high, rich and poor together. The Bible's message is that we've all fallen short of God's standards, and we all face God's wrath for this. We all need a way out, and it cannot be bought by us. So how can we be saved? Well, my second point really ties in with that, which is we need not fear the rich because we are better off eternally through God's ransom. We need not fear the rich because we are better off eternally through God's ransom. The key verse in the psalm for me, the key turning point, so to speak, or something that just really jars with the rest of the psalm, as he reflects on his own situation compared to the wealthy, is in verse 15. But let's look at verse 14 first. Like sheep, they are appointed for Sheol. Death shall be their shepherd, and the upright shall rule over them in the morning. Their form shall be consumed in Sheol with no place to dwell. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. But God will ransom my soul from the power of Sheol, for he will receive me. The one thing money can't buy is actually something that God gives to us. And this verse says that he is the one who ransoms our souls and receives us into heaven. It isn't I will ransom my own soul through money or good works. It's God who does the ransoming, but God will ransom my soul. And we all need this ransom. We cannot save ourselves. And the Bible's message is in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, we can be made right with God because Jesus is our ransom. Mark 10:45 says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. The definition of ransom is to free from captivity or punishment by paying a price. And Jesus pays that price by his death. We cannot afford that price, no matter how rich we are. We are utterly doomed without it. And the psalmist at the time wouldn't have quite known how the full ransom was going to play out. He's before Jesus' time, obviously. But we can know that this really is found in Jesus. In Jesus' death, we can have eternal life and be received by God. This is an invitation to all of us, both rich and poor. This then is another great antidote to not fearing those who trust in their riches. We, as those who trust in Jesus for our ransom, are far richer eternally than they. We are in a much better position than them. So we don't need to be intimidated or fear them. The rich may seem to be having a better life now, but if they don't trust in Jesus for their ransom, their riches will end up being a god that was useless to them for the long game. Utterly useless. Well, as we ponder these two truths, that wealth cannot buy us eternal life, but instead we need to accept God's ransom, let's think about how that hits home for us. Well, as I said earlier, I think we often feel that those who trust in their riches are sorted and they don't need God. And maybe we too are scared and intimidated by them. Well, here we see that they are far from sorted and their riches here are all a big smokescreen. It's all going to crumble. We are better off than they as we trust in Jesus' ransom. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? As you see others wealthier than you and perhaps mistreated by them, do you find the comfort the psalmist finds that we're in a better position? We have something money cannot buy, and so we don't need to fear them. Perhaps, though, this psalm is a warning for us as the rich. How do we treat those who are not as rich as us? Perhaps on your holidays or business trips and you're being served by others. Do you treat those who serve you with generosity and kindness? Or do you show displeasure and become unnecessarily demanding just because you're in a seeming position of superiority? Or maybe you are that landlord or boss. Do you need to think again about how you treat others? Well, this psalm acts as a warning to us to not trust in our riches or think they give us some position of superiority. Our wealth is of no eternal consequence and should not be used in this world to exploit or dominate others. We should hold to it very lightly. And finally, I think this psalm really forces the question of what are we living for? This psalm acts as a big warning to a city full of people longing to get rich. Are we trusting in our riches rather than our ransom? Are we trusting our riches rather than our ransom? Are you more focused on the ransom you have in Jesus, or are you hankering after more money, more earthly glory? It's a false economy, isn't it? It's like a check that we cannot cash. And Jesus did the opposite. He gave up his wealth. He stepped down into earth. He became poor. Wouldn't it be odd if we strove to do the opposite? Yes, we're saying it's not wrong to be rich necessarily, but it is wrong to trust in those riches. Yet it's so easy to go with the flow, isn't it, of our culture and to become unhealthily motivated by the pull of money so that it becomes an idol. Just the other day, I was having a conversation with someone about salaries, and it quickly became obvious that I, though of a similar age, was earning a lot less than my friend. And you know what? At the time, I felt very jealous and inferior. But as we look at this passage today, I can remember that I am rich beyond compare as I trust in God and his ransom. The money in my bank account really doesn't count for anything in the long game. I don't need to chase after money. But as I reflect on that now, and as I, maybe you hear it too, it hurts, doesn't it? It stings. It's so countercultural. We're so wired and conditioned to prioritize making money, to maybe prioritize putting money on a pedestal. But what do we really want more? God's glory or ours? Being rich just for now, or to be rich for eternity? Or do we always try and have both? Hedge our bets a bit. Well, we need to be all in for the gospel, don't we? So I think the encouragement here is to not stop taking risks for the gospel, as I know many of us do. To not worry about being worse off financially in those situations, to trust that God will provide, and knowing that he will, and he does in his ransom, that lasts for eternity. So as we think about that next job offer or what we do with our money, let's make sure our decisions are not driven by the need to accumulate more wealth. We need to wake up in a city that is sleepwalking to their graves with gold in their pockets. Being rich is not the goal. Our riches cannot save us. And if we trust in them, we've seen in this psalm, they lead to certain death. Being ransomed by God and being received by him should be our goal. That is what matters for eternity. Let me pray for us. Dear God, I thank you that this psalm is just so packed with wisdom. And it just shows us that being rich, trusting in our wealth, trusting in our riches is futile. I pray that we'd be truly understanding that wealth and power are poor idols and they cannot buy eternal life. And I pray that you'd help us have a right attitude towards the rich and the powerful, to not be fearful. Please do a deep work by your spirit in our hearts to help us not trust in riches, but to trust in our ransom. Thank you so much for that ransom in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Help us to see what's really valuable and what lasts for eternity, and to live in line with that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Joe. Really excellent talk and really helpful, especially given the situation many of us are in and the environment we're working in. So thank you for that, Joe. It's really great.